You have praised him. You have exalted his name. You have lifted up the name of the Most High. You will not be found in the pit in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You have celebrated Jehovah. You have celebrated the faithful one. You will not be found in a place where you'll be pitied in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As the Lord liveth, whatsoever might be the source of concern to you before this moment, in this week of divine intervention, God will send help your way in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I say, my God, your God will visit you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, as we look into your word today, we pray, oh God, that you will open our eyes of understanding to yet another level of revelation in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word that will transform our lives, let it be sent expressly today in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And let your name be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe, okay. Is it okay now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. You can hear me. Hallelujah. And so, this thing is coming to my mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. It's okay now. Thank you, Jesus. We started the series of the teaching, the authority of the believer. And I know something has happened in your life. If you have been paying attention to what the Spirit of God has been speaking to us since the beginning of the month, I like that testimony. He said he prayed for the for the leg and he just took his mind off it. And while he was resting, God was busy doing his work. That is to prove to you that the word of God works. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no medicine in the physical realm that doesn't have a side effect, no matter how minimal it is. But the word of God is the only medicine that does not have side effects. And when you think nothing is happening, the word is busy doing his work. And the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That is to prove to us that as we are busy applying the word of God into our situation, our testimonies will appear for all to see in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said in the name of Jesus,
amen.
Your testimony will appear for all to see in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you are at a point where you are thinking, what am I doing? Is things really working the way I'm expecting it? But I want you to know that the word of God cannot fail. And that word will perform your expectations in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so we look at the part 4 of that series of teaching today about the authority of the believer. And you remember we said that we have been created, or we were created with dominion. We were created with the word of dominion. And like we said, it is not something that we have to debate or to check or to ask our colleagues to check if it is real. It is a fact that cannot be changed. The word of God cannot change. It's an immutable fact that we were created in his image as gods. He made us gods. The Jehovah, the God himself, the Almighty God himself, he made us gods over this earth and over everything that is found upon the earth and on the earth except other people. Hello? You are not created to rule or to dominate other people. You are created to dominate things and every other thing found on this earth. But today, our emphasis will be on how to discover this reality. Because like we said last Sunday, that it is an irrevocable fact that we are created or we are made by God as God, small g, to have dominion here on earth, and that cannot change. But like we said, every time this issue was made reference to in the scripture, the emphasis is always placed on our ability to see it. If we are unable to see it, we cannot operate at that realm. We just be operating at the realm of stories, not the realm of reality. And we're not called to be telling stories. We are called to be manifesting the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. But I want us to also remember that the strategy of the enemy is three. Number one, he will either make you to be ignorant of this reality, or to be ignorant of what you are created to be or whom you are in Christ Jesus. And if he fails in making that possible, the number two way through which he can stop you from manifesting that glory is to make you to doubt or disbelieve that reality. He will come, first of all, to test you, to check, are you ignorant of it? If he sees that you are not ignorant of it, then he will seek a way to make you to disbelieve it or to argue the reality of it. And if he sees that you are not doing that, he will still try to make you to abuse it. Thank you, Jesus. But all these things can happen if you are ignorant of the reality of what God has created you to be. In Luke chapter 4, thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 4, the devil tried to tempt Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're not going to read the whole thing, but if you read all the temptation that he was given, what he did to the man in the garden, when he told him, he said, you can eat this fruit. If you eat it, God didn't want you to eat it so that you will not be like gods. But they are already created as God, isn't it? And he just played on the ignorance of the woman. And so, the second Adam, Jesus, he wanted to play the same trick on him, but he failed. And because you are in Christ Jesus, the same grace that was made available for him to triumph over every temptation of the devil will be released afresh upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, he said, in verse 3, he said, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. If thou be, he wanted to test if he knew whether he was the Son of God or not. And Jesus answered him. Bible says, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so he answered him point blank. Now don't you think I don't know who I am? I am the Son of God. You cannot deceive me. And so when you look at all the temptation from the one to the last one, he still was around the same area. He was trying to check whether he was ignorant. And when he discovered that he wasn't ignorant of it, he tried to see if he could doubt it. And because Jesus didn't doubt it, he tried to see if he could abuse that thing. But what I'm trying to let you understand through the word of God today is to understand the fact that you need to see this. You need to understand it. Because in this kingdom, it is a kingdom that is ruled by light, by understanding. A subject that you don't understand, you cannot excel in it. Hallelujah. This kingdom doesn't work by permutation. That's why you will never see anything called luck in the Bible. You know, in Sudan, they say likati, that is good luck. There's nothing like good luck in the Bible. Hello? There is nothing like good luck. The Bible said, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, it's very simple, you will not perish. So, you believe, you won't perish. You don't believe, you perish. There's no midway that if you believe, maybe if you are lucky, you will not perish. Hallelujah. Now, you know, somebody that was asking me about it, we're talking about lottery. This day, I said, you know, the simple reason why you know that you cannot be from God. You know this lottery that people play to win money. Lotto, you know what I say? It's not from God, it's because it's based on probability that, you know, maybe 10 people, 100 people pay money, then the two or three lucky ones get the money. But the principle of God is not like that. In the kingdom of God, you do what is needful, you get the result. Hallelujah. Every time they came to Jesus, he said, do you have faith? You have faith, you will get it. Thank you, Jesus. Say, for God, so every condition, every blessing in the word of God has a condition that you need to have, a responsibility that is placed upon you. And when you play your part, God's part is settled, sir. So there is nothing, no issue of maybe. Thank you, Jesus. The same thing goes to the issue of the being created in his image and having dominion. If you see it, you believe it, you will surely have it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But I want us to understand this. God never designed man to be taught to be taught by any external force or means outside the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. God never designed man to be governed from outside. Are you getting it? God never expected you to wait until the police tells you to play or to do what is right before you do what is right. Man was created to be inside, to live inside out. In other words, your spirit, the spirit of God through your spirit, supposed to be directing you to know what to do. Hallelujah to Jesus. Like one man of God said, that the problem we have in society today, in every part of the world, is as a result of failure of individuals to exercise restraint or to exercise what you call personal, personal control, self-control. We have bonds of lots of millions of people who doesn't have self-control, and as a result of that, it results into societal control. Lack of self-control. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm trying to say is that man was created to be governed by the word of God. Man was not created to be governed by sticks or by tight-fistedness or being beaten before they do things. In fact, if you read the word of God from the book of Genesis, there was nothing called prison there. Was there anything like prison in Genesis chapter 1? Hello? There was not even any written law until Moses came. How did Abraham live as a righteous man without any written scripture? Hallelujah. From inside. The perfect will of God is for man to be ruled from inside. Man was not designed to be governed or to be told what to do by any senate of any country. No, that is not his perfect will. Hallelujah. You remember when he came to Jesus and asked him about marriage? And he said, for what reason should a man divorce his wife? And he started giving all the reason of the reason. And he said, at the end he said, but Moses told us to let go to divorce and give the certificate of divorce for a reason, for only one reason, because of fornication, isn't it? But Jesus said, it is still because of the hardness of your heart. Hello? He said, but from the beginning, it was not so. God allowed Moses to allow you to do that, because if he didn't allow you, you will kill yourself. at that time. He's supposed to be from inside. You are not created to be governed by outside. You're not created to wait until you are told to do what is right. In fact, the word diligence, like the Bible said, you should be diligent to do this way. The word diligence means mental and physical hard work without supervision. Hello? If there's a need to supervise you or to be guided or to be pushed around before you do what is right, it means you are not disciplined or you are not diligent. Hallelujah. You know, we've said it many times. And of course, we are at different level in the congregation or in the body of Christ. Do you know that for you to wait until you are being asked or begged to come to church or being monitored here and there before you come, it shows something. It shows your level of commitment to God. Because how many places, thank God of us here, we belong to the working class and we have managers around us. How many times do they call you from work? I say, oh, we don't want to see. Did you sleep well? But you still go. Hello? Have you ever at any time said, oh, I slept over, I forgot to go to job? If your worker call and say, I slept over, I've only gone. What did you do? I'm preparing his letter to go. And I say, okay, continue sleeping. Hallelujah.
You can also sleep tomorrow.
That's very good. See, but the reality is that when it comes to the things of God, why is it that we have to be begged? Inside control. Thank you, Jesus. But what I'm trying to say is that until you get to a point where you allow yourself to be ruled from inside, you have not started. From inside. I like giving them the testimony that even Abraham gave about looking for a new way of reading the Bible. Because nobody begs you to open your phone and listen to and check the news. But why is it that they have to beg us to read our Bible? May the Lord have mercy on us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God never designed man to be taught by any external force or means outside his word. Let's see a reference. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let me quickly read it to save our time here. Genesis 1, 26. Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image. And like we said before, this one that the King James version said, let God, and God said, actually, the way it was presented from the original, it says like this. God said, man be in our image. Hello? He declared it with the greatest force, with the word of dominion. And he said, man be in our image. Because remember that everything he said, be. He came into existence. Light, be. Light came. Firmament, be. Firmament came. Trees, be. Tree came into existence. And the same way, when he came to the time of man, he said, man, be in our image, after our likeness. And let that man have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, thank you, Jesus. He said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him, male and female. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He said he created him. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him, male and female, created he them. And now, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, verse 29 said, and God said, let's pay attention to verse 29. God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Thank you, Jesus. So how did God communicate his instruction to them? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How did God communicate his instructions to the man? He communicated it via his word. Hallelujah. God communicated his instructions to them, or he instructed them via his word. He did not say, okay, I'm going to send one angel and he's going to come with stick and he will hit you on the head. Pow! And when he hits you on the head, you will know what to do. Hallelujah. Did you get it that? He instructed them by his word. Man was created from the beginning to be instructed by the word of God. Whatever instruction the word of God cannot affect in your life, nothing can ever make it possible. Thank you, Jesus. So we can see from the beginning that from the beginning of creation, God created man to be guided or to be led or to be instructed or to know what to do only by the word of God. Not by the circumstance. You know, we have this adage that says how do they say it? That experience is the best teacher. It's not always true. Hello? Because if you are driving and you have woes, why should you allow accident to teach you how to obey traffic rule? Hallelujah. The person may not even survive it. Or why should you allow you to take a poisoned water and start going to the toilet before you know that you're supposed to take your water before you drink it? Hallelujah. So experience cannot be the best teacher. Instruction is there. Make sure you drink clean water. Instruction is, in fact, some cars now have been designed that, and even the GPS, I was traveling with somebody. In that particular road, we were over speeding. And the GPS was started saying it. He said, You are over. I don't remember how exactly he said, but he said it very clear. He said, you have passed the speed limit for this road. Hallelujah. Even the GPS. So you're not supposed to wait until the accident happened before you obey the traffic rule. You are created to be instructed by the word, by the rule, not by the circumstance. Thank you, Jesus. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, Bible said, and the Lord God took the man, and he put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Lord God did what? He commanded. Hallelujah. He commanded the man, saying, so he still gave him instruction via what? His word. Thank you, Jesus. Man was designed to be instructed by the word of God. We soon link it up with the issue of the authority. Another reference. The psalmist confirmed it. In Psalm 25, verse 12. Psalm 25 verse 12, he said, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach the way that he shall choose. Any man that fear the Lord shall teach him the way that he shall choose. He will teach him. Psalms 119 verse 105. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word. Look up, it's there. Thy word. Thy word. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet, not circumstances. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you are very conversant with the Bible, if you are studying divine direction, you will see that the ultimate instrument For divine direction is the word of God. Hallelujah. It was only when man fell and he lost contact that God started directing him through some other ways. Just like when somebody, you have been telling him, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and he doesn't want to listen, and he's about falling into the pit. Whatever you have around you, if it's a rod, you start to use it to push him back. But it's because he didn't listen. Hello? If he had listened, there wouldn't have been any need for you to use the rod to push him back. And so, Bible said, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is not the circumstance. You don't have to wait to fall sick before you learn to eat well, to learn to eat healthy. Hallelujah. You shouldn't wait until the devil starts manipulating your finances before you learn to speak, to confess life. Psalms 119, the same 119 verse 130. He says, Psalms 119 verse 130 said, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. The entrance of thy word. So the word of God is the instrument of instruction. Thank you, Jesus. The same Psalm 119 verse 11. I want us to see all this reference so that we can be able to understand it. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so, when we're talking about people not sinning against God, it is not by cutting off the hands of somebody that stole. You see it now. That all those chopping off of arms, even if you bump somebody, does it still stop it? Have you not seen a situation where, in fact, the statistics also show, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Statistics shows that average people in most countries that went to the prison, they don't come back better. Is it true? That's reality. Because prison, it's not prison that will really train you. No. The prodigal son, it was not the circumstance per se. It was his ability to see, to reason his way back. Hallelujah. Maybe they should give me another microphone today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. And so, what we are trying to talk about is this. We are designed to be instructed by the word of God. He said, I hid your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. When you don't have the word of God in your heart, you don't have to pray to sin anyway. It just comes naturally. That's the truth. Because not the natural man in his fallen state is like a pig. He enjoys sin. Hello? It is the word of God that will be telegiding you, that will convict your man, your heart, that no, this is not right. Thank you, Jesus. Another reference. We are to be led by the Spirit of God, which is also one with the word. Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not as many that are led by the circumstance. Not that as many that are led by staying very long in the prison. Not that as many that are led by when you beat them well. Hallelujah. No. It's not the perfect will of God. From the beginning, it was not so. Hallelujah. The wood that God put in the garden was not to be turned into koboko. To beat people. No, sir. Thank you, Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 7, he said, "For there are three that beareth record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, they are one." So the Word of God and the Spirit of God, they are one. And so the Bible said in Romans 8:14 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So which means God will lead you through His Spirit via His Word. His Word is the principal truth through which you will be directed as goals that He has created as people of His pasture. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the fourth reference, because I want us to pay attention to this one very, very well. We were raised in an environment or with background where we are being told that the way to train a child is to beat him. But brethren, it is not biblical, sir. May God have us the understanding and the grace to follow His Word in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's see the reference. Because people will tell you that, oh, you know, but it's in the Bible. Let's beat them. You know, there are some of the policies, for example, when they say here that you speak, my kids should not be beaten. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, some of the policies we think is Western. Of course, there are some of the policies that we don't agree that doesn't go with the Scripture. But that one goes with the Scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 15. The Bible says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." The what? The rod of correction. Proverbs 23:13. "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Third reference. Proverbs 23, verse 14. "Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from her." Proverbs 29:15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." But somebody will say, "But the Bible said that we should beat them with the rod." What then is the rod that the Scripture is talking about? Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. Is the rod that the Bible is talking about the stick that you need to take? You remove madness from him with that stick. Is that rod the stick? Isaiah 10, 5. He said, "Oh, Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in the hands is my indignation." Remember that God told Israel. He said, "If you don't listen to my instructions, if you don't follow my rule, my word, or my precept, or my commandment," He said, "I will judge you." He said, "I'm going to use a rod to deal with you." And Bible said he will use Assyrians. Who are the Assyrians? Assyrians is a nation that captured them in captivity. Hello? Because they refused to listen to the instruction of God, then they were open to that attack. And then they were captured by a nation called Assyria. And so Bible said it described Assyrian as a rod. Hello? So, it's a figurative description, isn't it? So, in this case, Assyrians serve as a rod in the hand of the master to bring them back to where they're supposed to be. But his perfect will was not for Assyrians to go and cut off their head before they listen. His plan for them was to listen to his word. He gave them his word when they were about to enter the land. In Deuteronomy 28, let's go there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I wish I could have time to really dig deep into this. Deuteronomy 28, he said, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken," hello? If thou shalt do what? Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently." Hello? How did that describe or define diligence at the beginning? He says, mental and physical hard work without supervision. Without supervision. That means You don't need to wait until the Assyrians or the Babylonians come to beat you and take your children as slaves before you listen to the instruction that I've given you. Hallelujah. So we could see that the perfect will of God for them was to diligently hearken to the commandment, to the voice. What is the voice? The word. The plan of God, the perfect will of God for Israel or for his chosen people is to listen to his voice. He said, hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandment which I command thee this day. The Lord of God will set thee on high above all nations. If you read further down, you see that God made it very clear to them that he will preserve them, he will protect them as long as they listen to his voice or his word. Now, verse 15. The same Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. He said, but. He said, but it shall come to pass if thou will not hearken to the voice, not to the stick. Did you get it now? If you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You see that curses was a result of their refusal to do the word of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you getting it now? So, what we are talking about is that man was not created to be directed by external means. He is to be ruled or to be governed by the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 23, verse 4. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So if the rod is a physical rod, how can a physical rod comfort you? The physical rod can make you cry, really. If it beat you, bah, on your head, that's not comforting. Hello? You will cry instead. And so, what I'm trying to say is that the rod in that proverb is not stick with you to beat. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, the scripture that we read, he said, and there shall comfort, Isaiah 11, verse 1, there shall comfort a rod. Say a rod. Say, there shall comfort a rod out of the stem of Jesse. You remember Jesse, the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus. He said, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Talking about Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. How can the Spirit of God rest upon a physical rod? So that rod is not talking about a rod, the physical rod. It's talking about the personality, the word of God. And the word of God became flesh. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and that means upon the rod, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of fear of the Lord. How can the Spirit of God rest upon the physical rod? So he's talking about Jesus in figure here. So Jesus is the rod of God. And Bible said in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Thank you, Jesus. So the Word of God is the rod of God, the Word of God is the living Word of God, and the Word of God is the instrument that was set aside by God to direct us, not sticks. Thank you, Jesus. Paul also confirmed this one. Thank you, Lord. Paul confirmed it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, downward. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. What are the scriptures? The word. It's word of God.
We have known the word of God. That's the meaning. And the word of God is able to make you what?
Wise.
To make you wise. Not the stick. Not the prison. Not the circumstance. It is the word of God. He said, the scripture or the word of God, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 16. He said, all scripture or all the word of God is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for 1. Doctrine. 2. Reproof. 3. Correction. 4. Instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what I'm trying to talk about is that the word of God is the instrument that God has put into place to correct us. Which means the instrument that will correct us from thinking as a slave or thinking as ordinary man, instead of seeing the divinity in us, is still the same word of God. Thank you, Jesus. And so, when God spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1, he said, see, he was telling him that he needed to see via the instruction, or via the word of God, whom he is in real life, in actuality. Thank you, Jesus. That same word of God is the instrument that will paint the picture of our future in the world. You cannot become what God has ordained you to be except through the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. The principal tool to see, therefore, is the word of God or the revelation of the truth. Like we said in the past 3 weeks, you know that we have made it very, very clear. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our what? Of our faith. That's Hebrew, which is the main our anchor scripture for the month. Looking unto Jesus. Who is Jesus? The word of God that made flesh. So, looking unto the word of God, the author and the finisher of our faith. It is the word of God that will paint you the picture of whom you are, really. And so, when you have issue in any angle or any area of your life, instead of going to your friends to ask, okay, what do you think about it? Go to the word of God. Let the word of God paint the true picture of what it's supposed to be. Hallelujah to Jesus. As I turn to attempt quickly, I mean to round up today, because of our time is fast spent. What are the things, the steps that we need to take to be able to see from the word of God? To be able to see the picture of our future in the word of God, through the word of God. How can we assess the word of God practically? Number one, you must be born again. Except you are born again, you cannot understand the things of God. Because you have lost contact. Let me explain it this way. Remember that the Bible says we are created in his image. And God is a spirit, isn't it? God is a spirit, also we are spirit being. But after man fell into sin, what actually happened was that the man died, or the inner man especially died. But the word died there does not mean that it ceases to exist. It means that the connection between him and the source or God was broken. Just like when you are out, you are enjoying your internet and you put your phone in airplane mode. What happened to it? You cut the link between your phone or your iPad or whatever device you are using, the link between you and the router. And so, even though there's availability of the signal for the internet in the room, you will not be able to see because you have cut the link. Thank you, Jesus. And so, when man sinned, the link between him and God was cut, was shared. And so, he couldn't, his spirit, even though the spirit is still existing, he couldn't communicate with God again. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let me give us another example. How many of us have ever used a prepaid SIM card before? Hallelujah. You know, the prepaid one, for example, if you have maybe your Convic and you load your airtime today, when you finish the airtime,
Even if you don't buy any other airtime for the next 9 months, you will still be able to receive call, isn't it? But once it is 1 year, what will happen? It goes, it dies. It means that you have breached the contract. Even though your phone is still, it may be the most expensive phone. Everything looks fine. You might have even charged the battery. Everything is full. But you won't be able to communicate with the service provider anymore, even though your SIM card is still there. That was what happened to the man. His spirit was still existing in him. But the link between his spirit and the spirit of God was already broken. He's no more righteous, because when you don't pay your bill, when you don't buy airtime, you are no more righteous with the service provider, because you have breached the contract, isn't it? And so they will cut you off from the supply of the signal. And so your SIM card will not be able to pick and will not be able to communicate with the source anymore. Hallelujah to Jesus. But if you say, okay, now I want to restore my line, and you go to them, if the contract allows it, then they will tell you that, well, you want to retain your old number, they will give you another SIM that is now alive, and then activate it, isn't it? And that was what God did for us. Our spirit man that was dead, that couldn't communicate with God again, Jesus died and paid the bill. Just like when you pay the bill to the service provider, to telecom or convict, they restore your line. Jesus paid the bill and our line was restored. He gave us a new SIM or a new life, a new spirit that could then communicate with God. Did you get the link now? Thank you, Jesus Christ. And so when you are born again, then you'll be able to communicate. Remember that man was supposed to be ruled from inside. It means that he's supposed to get his instruction from through his spirit, and the spirit will pass it to the mind or to the soul, and the soul will then instruct the body, go to this place. Hallelujah. That's the way God designed you, not the other way. Hallelujah to Jesus. So man was not designed to be looking at the five senses to get instruction from them. No. Those are supposed to be passed to the to help interpreting what the mind has been able to receive from the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And so, for you to be able to see or to be instructed by the word of God, to be able to see whom you are in Christ Jesus, you have to be born again. John 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. John 10:27. I know them and they follow me. He said, my sheep, not just ordinary. Every other sheep can't hear him. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, they have to become my sheep first. If you're not born again, you cannot hear God that way. Hallelujah. Because your spirit man is dead. You can't hear God. God is a spirit. It takes a spirit to hear a spirit. Hallelujah to Jesus. We try as much as possible to interpret the signs or the sounds from animals. But a lot of times, it's even opinion of men. Because when a dog is barking, maybe it's because he's hungry. You think it's because he's seeing another dog. No. Even our kids, do you know that, thank God for our women with the wisdom that God gave them. There are times when the baby is crying, they're just cuddling the baby. You don't really know what he wants. Hello? Maybe he's hungry. You think it's because of the heat. You remove his jacket and he's taking inside him. Say, this mama, he needs help. I'm hungry. You are giving, you're removing my jacket. Hallelujah. But when a child grows to a level where you can talk, it becomes easier. Then you can ask him, why are you crying? Ah, I want to watch TV small. And hey, now you are talking. Thank you, Jesus. So we have to be born again. Another reference is Mark chapter 4, 11 through to 12. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, you must be in the spirit. If you want to hear God, get instruction from him, you must be in the spirit. Say, be in the spirit. You must be in the spirit. You must be in the spirit. You must be a spiritual spirit. Because if you are born again, your spirit is alive. But you still have to be spiritually sensitive. That's what it means. You have to be spiritual. Not religious, but spiritual. That means you are sensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 1 verse 10.
Revelation 1:10 said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard him behind me. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So he was in the spirit, and he was able to hear God. If you're not in the spirit, you won't be able to hear God. Thank you, Jesus. Because the voice of the spirit is not loud like this audible voice we are talking about. That voice is what we call intuition, or the voice of your conscience. It speaks to your heart. Hello, have you ever had something that you just can't explain? Say, I just feel something. Or you are about to say something. Something say, no, don't say it. In fact, there are times when I'm about to type message, and I will just hear something. Say, no, don't type it this way. This is not the God's way. You see, that's the voice of your spirit. But a lot of time, that voice is not, I've come, come and hear now. No, it's so silent. Bible call it the still small voice. And so the more you train yourself to listen to that voice, the better. And you have to be in the spirit to be able to hear him. Hello? To be able to hear him. Times when you are doing things, some things at work, and somebody is telling you that, no, this is not right. I say, no. It's your spirit that's speaking. And God is speaking to you. You say, no, don't do that. Don't go to that place. Stay now. Don't invest in that business. See, train your spirit, man, to pick the signal. Because God can never lead you to failure. He can never lead you backward. Thank you, Jesus. Always engage the Holy Spirit as we prayerfully search. When take the issue of your life, topical issue. We are talking about reading the scriptures. Thank God, yes, we need to read the scripture, but don't just read it the way you are reading newspaper. No, sir. Hallelujah. There are different approaches to it. You can read, you can try to read, to go to through Genesis to Revelation or whichever way, to familiarize yourself with the history aspect of it, to have facts, so that when somebody asks you to open the book of Job, you'll be going to the book of Timothy. Hallelujah. Just to be able to know what's there. You can also read topical issues. For example, you are believing God for financial breakthrough. You can go to the scripture. What does the scripture say about finances? For example, people will go around and say, oh, money is the root of evil. If you don't read the scripture, you won't be able to see that. That's what the scripture says. The scripture says the love of money, not money itself. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. If you don't have money, you will end up putting yourself, your hand in the iniquity. That's the truth. Because God created you to spend money, sir. You are not holier without money anyway. If money corrupts righteousness, Abraham will have been a sinner. Job would have been a thief. Jesus spent money and he had plenty of it anyway, because he gave to the poor. Hallelujah to Jesus. So the love of money is the root of all evil. So you have to familiarize yourself with the scripture. What does the scripture say concerning that subject? Engage in search. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have to close here. Engage in search. Then engage the ministry of anointed teachers. Hallelujah. Don't say, oh, I can do it all by myself. You are lying, no. Thank you, Jesus. That's a big lie. That is a big lie. Because God said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Say, for the perfecting of the saints. Hallelujah. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith. So, the ministry of the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, the evangelists, and the apostles will still be relevant. Hallelujah. Don't say, okay, no, I can read it. Yes, you can read it. But God still put into place. See, those ministry gifts, they are like the distributors. God is the baker that provides the food. But those people that he mentioned, he called them to distribute it, to make it easy, to break it down into absorbable unit that you can be able to see. Hallelujah. For example, I would never have been able to understand, or it may take me longer time
to be able to understand my position of authority in Christ Jesus, if not through the book that I read, Authority of the Believer by Kenneth Hagin. Thank you, Jesus. Book of Revelation says that I'm sitting in heaven, far above principalities and power. But it took the ministry or the teaching of David Oyedepo for me to be able to see my far above mentality. Hallelujah. So the ministry of the pastor and the teachers and the apostles and the evangelists and the prophet is there to help us to understand. So take advantage of it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Job 33:22. He said, yea, his soul draw near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer. Verse 23 said, Job 33:23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. Hello? So he would have died. That sickness would have killed him. But through the ministry of the interpreter, he was able to see. I know we have been talking about the authority of the believers since the beginning of this month. Some people have dropped in you, sir. Hello? The level of your confidence in Christ Jesus to challenge any demon must have risen up now, because you have the understanding that in Christ Jesus, you are made to be God over them. And so you can boldly tell any devil to shut up. It will be strange for you to go to a place now and see somebody is demon possessed and you are shivering and, like a leaf to go into the place because you are afraid that demon will come into you. No, because you have your position of understanding in Christ Jesus that you can tell that demon to shut up and he must shut up. Through the ministry of the interpreter or the teacher. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 3:15. He said in Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, we shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. He said, I will give you what? I will give you what? Pastors. What's the responsibility of the pastor? To feed you with knowledge and understanding. To feed you with knowledge and understanding. Pastors, prophets, evangelists are not higher than you. Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. They are just being privileged to be chosen as instrument to dig deep. They spend more time by the help of the Holy Spirit to dig into it, and they are able to find it and dish it out. Hallelujah to Jesus. So they are not superior in any way. But we are to submit to the ministry of the pastors and the teachers and learn from them. Thank you, Jesus. And so let's take advantage of it and learn. And so that we are able to see who we are. And the last one, before we pray, be engaged in meditation. Say meditation. Be engaged in meditation. You see, this is one of the missing links in the body of Christ. What is meditation? Meditation simply means to think over or ponder over something again and again, until you are able to establish your understanding of it, or to ruminate over something. Hallelujah to Jesus. You remember that if you are very conversant with the animals, especially cow and goats and sheep, if you give them food, they will eat. Hum, 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 hum. After that, they go to a corner and they will be doing like this and eating again. The way some of us eat chewing gum. Hallelujah. They will be eating it again. Then sometimes you start thinking, what are they eating? Where is he getting that food from? No. When he eats first one, he rushes it into the stomach. You know, science said their stomach has been divided into four. Is it four, whatever? Four, not category, compartments. So when they eat, they will bring it out again and then chew it properly. They call them ruminant animals. Hallelujah. In fact, that word came from, to ruminate over something means to think or to meditate came from it. That's why they call it ruminant animals. They ruminate. They bring it out again and chew that food and then chew it well. So when you listen to message, like you are listening to it now. Now, this message has been on for, this is the 59th minute. You got it to 1 hour now that you have been listening. Brethren, the Lord is your strength, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But you see, the truth is that you can't get everything now. When you get home and you ponder, you take over these things again, or you listen to the tape, then you see, okay, in fact, God may just take one word, the opening speech, and you may be thinking over it for 1 month, sir. And as you are thinking over it, it's getting bigger, you are understanding it more, and more, and more, and more. So be involved in meditation. Meditate over the word of God, upon the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. In Psalms 23, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Next Sunday is celebration, so we just dance and dance and dance. So let's eat more of the word today. 23, hallelujah. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." Who is called a shepherd? Hello? The one that is controlling the sheep. Hello? And sheep are ruminant animal, like we said. When they get the food, he takes it. And then he goes home. He goes to his corner. When others are busy talking, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, he sits down and we start bringing it out again. Again. You know, even science said concerning those animals, you know, when they are, as they are doing that, when they mess, boom, you know what comes out of their mess? It's methane gas, that cooking gas that you used to cook. So it means as you are meditating upon it, you are producing fire. So as you are meditating over the word of God, fire is coming from you that is consuming your enemy. Hallelujah. Yeah. You meditate. Bible said, "He is our shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture." Now look at it in verse 3. No, verse 2. He said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Why? Because when you make the sheep to lie down in the green pasture, it's able to eat as many green and nutritious food as possible. Then later, he will go to a corner and start chewing it. And start chewing it. And say, "Why?" Let's stand up. And say, "Why? Why is it that my health is doing like this, Lord? You said in your word that by your stripes I am healed. But this thing is not manifesting in my life." That was how the prodigal son rediscovered his life. He meditated over the things that happened in the past. And he said, "I think it's far much better for me to go back to my father's house. That I will enjoy more dignity as a servant there than a worker here that is eating with pigs." It was a product of meditation. Thank you, Jesus. In the same Psalms 100, Bible said that where he made it to say we are the sheep of his pasture. So he keep us as sheep there. But you have to meditate on his word. Think about it. See, one thing is this. Even in the natural realm, whatever you think about gets bigger. So when you start thinking about that problem, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you are confused and give up. But when you think about the word of God instead, the victory gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until your faith is aroused, until your faith is ignited, until your faith comes alive. And when your faith comes alive, your humanity is connected to divinity. And when you are connected to divinity, the God in you will arise to crush the problem. There is no circumstance here that you are passing through that God has not given you the power to crush, sir. But meditate over it. Meditate over it. Meditate over it, sir. Think about it. Don't think about the challenge. You know, engage yourself in meditation. Be thinking. Don't just listen to message. See, many people spend time listening to message, but they don't think about it. That's the problem. Many people read the Bible, they don't meditate about it. You can't get anything from that. Imagine if a sheep will eat all the grass and doesn't go to digest it. Can it help him? He will just pass through the thing outside without having. It's just like when people have problems with digestion. They just eat. You know, some of the food we eat, especially some grain, they say it helps to aid digestion. But itself, our system can't digest it. If you eat grass, for example, your system cannot digest grass. No. It can't digest grass, but it helps you. So it comes out the way you eat it.
Hello? So if you are the type that is giving, because some people may have said, but I listen to the word of God. I sit down, I go to YouTube, I listen, but why am I not changing? You are not meditating. It's not just about the volume of the word per se, but the level of your understanding of it. That's why it's not about the age in the faith. Somebody may be born again last month and be on fire than someone that has been there since 1960. Hello? It's about how much you are given, how much you are able to see. But this year, you will see in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Esau couldn't see. He couldn't see. That was why he said, of what use is this blessing to me? You can have it. If he had seen, he would have been able to what? To endure. Hello? He did not ask for one day meal. He did not ask for 1 week's meal. He did not sell out his destiny for the meal for the whole month. Just one meal. One meal, sir. But we are doing it too as well. Even in our relationships. Honestly, brethren, because I've looked at it in this my young life. You know, there are times when people are wrong. You still tell them. Some are even weeping. Because they couldn't see it. Sit down and meditate. Sit down and meditate. Sit down and meditate. Reason with the word. What does the word of God say concerning this? What does the word of God say concerning relationship with people? Hello? Check yourself. You can't change nobody. Because in the Bible, God said, have dominion over everything, over the earth, not over every human being. You don't have dominion over every human being, sir. That's why you can never, ever, ever cast out devil out of man or woman if he doesn't agree with you. You don't have that authority. The authority is over the earth, not over people. And that's why when people go to usurp authority and say, you know, am I not the husband of the house? If you don't, I will break your head. It's just nonsense. You don't have that. Submit yourself. That's the genuine authority we're talking about unto God. Let him rule your heart. Meditate. Lord, what do you say about relationship? As a wife, what am I supposed to do? Am I a wife or am I a knife? Hello? Because a wife will walk around, will support the man for the vision that God gave the man to be accomplished. But a wife will cut that vision into pieces. That's what the Bible says, submit. Submit. Submission means put your mission under the man's mission. And you merge it together. You then cooperate. Otherwise, you will cut that vision into pieces as a wife. Hello? Your husband is not superior. God is not a total of person. But by position that God placed him, the assignment God has given him is to be the leader. So if you try to go and hijack the leadership, you will crash that wedding, sir. Hello? Do you know that the Bible didn't say that even widows, sorry for taking your time anyway, that widows become husband? He said, he is the husband of the widows. So women, they are wonderful, they are blessed. Partner with your husband. No matter what. No matter what. Respect him. Because as the leader, he just like when we I like what you told me one day. We said when we were talking about the man that was talking to the president of Nigeria, anyhow. Say, if you are the president of a sovereign state and somebody say you want to tear down your nation, then you will look at him and say, okay, yeah, good boy, you rub him in the head. You will crush his head. That's the same way. It's natural for him, for the man to be in charge of the relationship because God put him in that position. You cannot legislate it and change it. I like what Pastor Robert said one day. He said the position of the head does not change it. The head, whether you are lying in the vertical position or standing up, is still the head. So the altitude of the head, you can't say because it's the head. Because the head is lying down. It's not what the head. Does it change it? No. In fact, the proof of your spirituality, of your strength, is your ability to submit to somebody that knows even better than you. Let us pray and give God thanks today. And say, Lord, here I am. Instruct me by your word. I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want to get to the gate of heaven at the end and the world will judge me. Lord,
Help me. Help me to submit to your authority. Help me to submit to your authority. Help me to submit to the authority of the word of God. I ask for your help today. I ask for your help today. I ask for your help today. Help me to see. Help me to submit to the authority of the word. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I ask for your help, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will see in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of God will direct your path in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That issue that is giving you a concern, this same week, heaven will open to instruct you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Maybe you are at the point where you are saying, well, what should I do? This is not normal. What should I do? The word of God will instruct you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Concerning your children, the word of God will instruct you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And please, let us take time to teach them the word of God. Hello?
Amen.
Thank God for buying, for money to buy toys. Thank God for ability to buy many other things. But let us not leave that one outside. Because a child that you don't raise will soon be erased. Hello?
Amen.
Raise them. Let them know what you stand for. When daddy is reading the Bible, don't say, okay, no, this thing. Because the way you treat the Bible is the way your children will treat it. Oh. If you treat it as just ordinary nonsense, then they will treat it that way. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate the Passover, I see God sending his help to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ this weekend, I pray that everything that might have been dead in your life that is supposed to be alive will receive the life of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything that God has given you, every blessing that has not manifested yet, I decree that the resurrection power will visit you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything that the enemy tried to put in your life that's not supposed to be there, I decree that the resurrection power will visit you and remove it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not mourn in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We will not mourn over you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not weep over your children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not weep over your husband in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not weep over your wife in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No one that is numbered with you shall be a body in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
blessed be your holy name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.